It's a blessing to bring the word of the Lord to you again this morning. And something that comes from this text is one word, maybe you didn't notice or pay too much attention to it, but it's the word mouth, where God is speaking to Jeremiah, saying that he touched his mouth and put his words in his mouth. And the human mouth is, of course, used for many different things. We eat with it, we speak with it, we communicate with our mouth, we frown, we smile, and we are very sensitive to the things that are in our mouth. Maybe if you've experienced some new foods coming to America, some things may have tasted very delicious. Other things, maybe you, if you were honest, you wanted to spit that out of your mouth, right? Didn't taste so good. Sometimes we have a bug fly into our mouth, and immediately we do funny things to try and get the bug out of our mouth. I think the worst thing I ever had in my mouth was petroleum one time when I was trying to siphon the petroleum from a mower, and things went wrong. My dad laughed pretty hard when he watched me try to get that out of my mouth, and I couldn't stop drinking and washing my mouth. Well, one of the challenges you also know if you're trying to learn a new language is that sometimes your mouth doesn't cooperate with you the way that it should. Maybe in your mind you hear the words you want to say, you even hear the accent, but your mouth refuses to cooperate like it should. Another challenge with languages is that we use idioms. Have you heard this word before? New speakers in English? Idiom, it means to speak in one's own way, a language's own way. Not idiot, like a stupid person, but idiom. It means we speak in our own way, and that is one of the hardest things about learning a new language, because each language says things in its own way. Some of these can be very difficult at first. I remember an African man who was sharing a story of when he came to the United States, and he understood many English words. He left the gas station, and the man said to him, "Have a good one." He said, "I understand have, I understand good, I understand one, but what is have a good one? Have a good what?" Right? Because it's an idiom to have a good day, have a good trip, or something like that. Well, English also has several common idioms with the word mouth. Maybe you learned some of these, or maybe they're similar in your language. We have the phrase big mouth. Don't be a big mouth, right? That means you're talking big, you're bragging, I can do this, I can do that, I did such and such. Another one is a loud mouth. We know the people who want to be heard, right? You might want to talk, but the loud mouth is speaking bigger, and usually they don't think before they speak, because it's most important to be heard. And then we have a dirty mouth, which doesn't mean that there's dirt and things all around our mouth, but it means that the dirty mouth is one that speaks things it should not say. Well, mouth is also an important idea word in the Bible. Sometimes it's used as an idiom, sometimes it's used in a literal way, a basic and an easy way. And we read that the Lord put his words into Jeremiah's mouth. Who is the Lord? Well, the Lord is our maker, and he is Jeremiah's maker. Psalm 33, verse 6 says that by a mere word from his mouth, God created all the stars in the sky. And as creator, the Lord is also the one who looks over history. He controls everything in history. And inside that history, he appoints Jeremiah. He takes him, he gives him a special task, and puts his words in his mouth. And so the Lord tells Jeremiah, "Before I formed you, I knew you." And he says, "I set you apart, and I appointed you." Now just think, if you're Jeremiah and you hear those words, you know something is very important is coming, right? This past week, I was not planning to preach. Albert Streithorst was going to preach. On Wednesday morning, I got a phone call. He says, "Troy," He starts talking to me, and I know Albert, but I can hear in his voice that he wants to ask me something, right? The things he's saying are not the point. He's getting beyond that point to say, will you preach? Because I need to go somewhere this weekend. And when Jeremiah hears, before I formed you, I knew you. There's more to come. You have a special task. You have been appointed to speak into history. And only the Lord's words have life because he is the Lord of history. So those of us who study history, when we want to write a paper in college, by the way, if you're in college and you're going to write for your history professor, don't say just what happened, right? But you want to argue why something happened. Why did Hitler become popular? Why was he able to draw many people to himself? That's the interesting historical question, not just what happened. Why do two nations go to war against each other? This is the interesting historical question. And we argue in scholarship to try and understand these things. But what God is showing Jeremiah here is that whatever we see throughout history, I am the one who's planning and working through these things. I have a plan, and I am developing my plan, and you are going to be a part of it. I'm appointing you to be a part of this plan. And because of God's plan in history, Moses was also called to go to Egypt. God made the connection for Moses to the words of his mouth with his plan through history. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, the Lord says to Moses, "Who gave a mouth to human beings? Who makes a person mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? So now you go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you must say." So God was beginning to show his people through Moses that they can only live on his words. And he says, humans cannot live by bread alone, but by everything that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then Moses says in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, that same book of the Bible, he prophesies, and God says through Moses, "I will raise up a prophet like you for them," for the Israelites, "from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them whatever I command." So when we listen to the words of Jeremiah 1, and God says to Jeremiah, he says these things, "Do not say, 'I'm only a youth,' for to all whom I send you, you will go." And then listen, "Whatever I command you, whatever I command you, you will speak. I have put my words in your mouth." And so when we listen to the Bible like a story, right? When we have this big book, it maybe we don't think about it like a whole story, but it is a story too. And so if we think back earlier to Moses hearing this word, "I will send a prophet like you, I'll put my words in his mouth." And then we hear Jeremiah saying, I have got these words from the Lord. He put them in my mouth. We may begin to wonder in the story, is this the prophet? Is this the one that Moses was speaking about? Well, he is one, but he is not the one. He is not the prophet. He was one of the prophets, like many, who was pointing ahead to the prophet, Jesus. And he spoke, pointing ahead to Jesus with those words put in his mouth. And we're going to see some connections with the mouth of prophecy and Jesus in a few minutes. But mouth is it's an important word that goes through the Bible. It's like a thread that weaves together many of the things God is doing. Let's look at some of these that lead to our text in Jeremiah. All through the Old Testament and the prophets, we hear that they can only speak the words that God put in their mouth. They're not allowed to speak other words. And the Psalms teach us that praise is not just something that is in our mind, but it should come out of our mouth. And that's why we gather together in worship for one reason. That's one of the reasons we gather, to worship with our mouth. Psalms also teach us to guard our mouth. But none of you ever say stupid things, right? We need to guard our mouth so that we do not sin with our mouth. Proverbs continues that theme from Psalms, teaching us that our mouth can be used to be like a fool. We can say stupid things. We can say hurtful things that lead to death. Or our mouth can be used for wisdom. We can say things that lead to life and to truth. Proverbs also teaches us that we must open our mouth for those who cannot speak. This is also an idiom. In other words, when people may not have a voice of power, we need to step up. Like yesterday, we tried to speak up for the refugees, and some of us from church went to the Rise for Refuge event to have a voice for those who may not have a voice in the world but need protection. In Song of Songs, the mouth is beautiful. It's sweet. It is desirable for love. And when we come to Jeremiah, his mouth is touched by God. He says, I don't know yet how to speak. I'm only a boy. In other words, I still live with my parents. I still depend on their money. I'm too young to be by myself. But God says, it's not about your words, your ability. I have put my words in your mouth. So whose words did Jeremiah really speak? Were they his own words? Were they somebody else's words? Or were they the Lord's? The Israelites and the kings were faced with that question. They had to hear Jeremiah's words and wonder, are these my words? Are these his words, his own words, his idea? Or did they come from the Lord? And so in Jeremiah 36, verse 17, the officials ask Jeremiah's secretary, hey, where did you get these words? Did these words come from Jeremiah's mouth? In other words, are they words of prophecy? And Baruch, the secretary, he says, yes, I heard them from his own mouth, and I wrote them. But the king did not hear those words as the words of the Lord. He heard them only as Jeremiah's words. And so as he heard them, he threw them into the fire. Jeremiah's words and God's words were rejected by his people and by the nations, but his words still held their power. And God told Jeremiah that God's words would work through Jeremiah, to be over nations and over kingdoms, to uproot, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to plant, to build, and to plant. So if you noticed, that is actually two-thirds bad news, right? There's four times we hear something negative and only two times positive. One-third is good news, and that's because the future is kind of ugly for Jeremiah's audience. Most of them are going to reject. And the verse 1 before the passage that we read today says that Jerusalem is going to be captured. So when we listen to Jeremiah, we know there's something bad coming ahead. Many of God's people are going to be sent away because of their sin to another land that conquered them. And the reason was because God's people preferred to hear the words that came from false prophets' mouths. The prophets that God said, I did not put my word in their mouth. But still, those people preferred the false path and that of destruction. But Jeremiah also prophesied a time of hope, of renewal, a new covenant, a promise for his people that they would love his covenant with their own heart. This is in Jeremiah chapter 30 through 33, especially, where we see this emphasis. God is going to put his law in his people's heart, And he's going to cause a righteous branch to spring up from the ground. Jeremiah was called about 630 years before Jesus was born. And so maybe about 600 years before Jesus was born, he prophesied about the righteous branch that was going to be coming. And Matthew begins his gospel by showing us that Jesus is this long-awaited one. He's the one the prophets have been talking about. He's the one that we are waiting for. In Matthew 4, Jesus is tempted by Satan, you remember. And the first time, he's been fasting for 40 days, and Satan comes to him and says, "If you're hungry, just take these stones. You can make bread." And Jesus responds by saying, what? He says, "Human beings cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy. He's starting to tease our minds. Remember the prophecies about the one. And not only is he responding to this temptation, but he is also inviting us to recognize that I have the words of life. The words of life are coming from my mouth. He's the one that Moses spoke about. And then just like Moses gets the law from on the mountain, Jesus too goes up on the mountainside. He sits down with his disciples. And Matthew tells us, literally, he opened his mouth. He began to teach them. And he spoke the Sermon on the Mount. This reminds us of the words from Deuteronomy, that God will raise up a prophet and put his words in his mouth. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says several times when he sits down with his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, but..." Do you know the phrase? "You heard that it was said, but I say to you..." Jesus fulfills all the scripture. He interprets the scriptures with his own authority, with his own words. And the people were amazed, and they said, "Wow, I have never heard it spoken like this before. This is different. This is not like our teachers who teach with somebody else's authority, but he speaks with his own authority as God." Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, that Jesus lived a life without ever having a false word come from his mouth. And then we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 32, a quote from the Old Testament, that Jesus was led away for our sins like a sheep led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent. He never opened his mouth. What a contrast with human beings, who Paul says, when they don't know Jesus, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. Snake's poison is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. And as a result, Paul says, no one can make any excuse before God, because every mouth will be quiet and held accountable to God. Jesus died silently, but the time will come again when Jesus' mouth will not be silent. In Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, four times we read that there's a sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. Revelation is a book full of symbols, and this too is a symbol that God's word will have the power to conquer, to separate the truth from a lie, to go into nations and to bring people to Christ, or to bring them to a rejection. And the time is going to come again when Jesus' word will continue to separate the truth from a lie in a final way. The gospel of power continues to conquer nations as we sit here together worshiping from many different languages, and we call BES a gathering of the nations. Why? Because God's word has gone out. It's penetrated. It has brought us together from out of the nations, separating the truth from the lie. Jesus also says that out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And until that time when Jesus comes again for final judgment, he has chosen his church to be his mouth. We are the mouth of Christ in the world. So let nothing impure come from your mouth. We had confession a little while ago, and maybe some of us confessed some of the things that we said. Maybe we didn't confess, but we should have some of the things that have come from our mouth. Let's take our hand together. Just take your hand, touch your mouth, and say, my mouth is touched by God. And then say, mouth, don't be a loud mouth. Don't be a big mouth. Don't be a dirty mouth. Because instead, we are called, like Jeremiah, to be prophets in this world. Our mouths are appointed, given a task by God to speak for him. Paul writes, also in Romans, he says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and has righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses and has salvation. And today, I think I read in the bulletin that two others are making this profession with their mouth, affirming their baptism, and saying together before everyone, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I confess Jesus as my Lord. God promised to be with Jeremiah. Some people were going to be his enemies. Some people will be our enemies. But God is with us. Jesus is with us when we speak the truth. And Jesus promises that he will be with us as the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Jeremiah was sent to the nations with a message of judgment and hope. It's the same message that the church brings today. Believe in Jesus. This is a message of hope. It's also a message of judgment when we reject Jesus. But it's good news because this is the path of life. Judgment is only for those who reject God's word, but hope is for those who receive it. And so I wonder, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Maybe this morning you are ready, if you've not done so before, to confess, Jesus is my Lord. I believe. I am ready to follow you. God has promised to build and to plant. He started this in Jesus, and he continues to plant the church all around the world as we witness to. He will continue to build and to plant until he comes again. And so once again, let's touch our mouths. Say, mouth, you are touched by God. Be filled with praise. Be filled with words of hope. Be filled with the gospel. Amen.